and the Lord struck him. And that gives me faith to pray for people that have or so no faith. So now he is preaching to the Jewish people who have become Christians. And they have brought up to believe that you have to follow the law, that you have to do works to be saved, to be good. And now he's coming with this new revelation to them. Therefore, from Hebrews 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. May we be lifted up by the word of God.
Thank you, Ann. The sermon title this morning, you can see here, there's going to be a couple of different pictures that are going to be shown down the road, but all these broken pieces put together to make something beautiful. And that's the context of the message this morning. And, you know, many of you, in fact, almost all of us that probably are at least in mid-20s years old or older, probably remember what you were doing on 9/11 when the events unfolded. I remember I was heading into Iron Mountain for a clergy meeting with some other clergy, and I had the radio on and heard the news of the first tower falling down and a plane had hit it. And we went into that meeting and we just spent a lot of time in prayer. That same day, in fact, I just noticed it this morning on Facebook, a young lady was born from the church where I pastored on September 11th on that very day. And I remembered how both death and life were sharing the same day with 9/11. You know, the aftermath of 9/11 brought a lot of brokenness, questions, anxiety, fear, sadness, and a myriad of other emotions. But it also brought hope from the rubble. Remember the cross and the rubble, Ken? Remember that? There's one of the pictures, one of many pictures of that cross and the rubble. And I think for us, it was a message of hope. In the midst of all the rubble, God is still in control. In the midst of all the rubble, God still has it. In the midst of all the rubble, there is hope. And there is hope there. How many times God has given us signs in the rubble, and here's but one. I remember a picture I saw, and I wanted to find it. I couldn't find it this morning. A picture I saw of an untouched Bible in a church that was blown away in Hurricane Katrina. And the Bible just sat there in the sanctuary, untouched. It said something to me that in the midst of the rubble, God's still there. In the midst of all of that, God is still there. Churches left standing when buildings around them are blown away by a tornado. How many times I've witnessed a picture like that? In addition to this one we saw here this morning, the cross and the rubble of the World Trade Center. I want to remind us of something in the midst of all that rubble and the horrible thing that happened that day when nearly 3,000 people died on that day between the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania in that rural field. I want to remind us of something, because I think there was a miracle that was taking place while that was occurring. And that miracle comes from these numbers. You see, on an average day at the World Trade Center, there are 50,000 people in that building, both towers. On an average day at the World Trade Center, there were 140,000 people that would visit. And yet on that day, God, I believe in His mercy, minimized the damage of what took place at the World Trade Center. Only 3,000 lives lost when there could have been thousands upon thousands more. And yes, we attribute some of that to the brave first responders that came, and no matter what was going on, they came into that building and they rushed people out as fast as they could, and many of them went out ahead of them, and they themselves died in the rubble. But I look at that and I see in the midst of the rubble, the cross, in the midst of the rubble, yes, there were many lives that were lost, but there were many lives that were spared. We sometimes focus on the rubble rather than on the miracle. We focus on the brokenness and the sadness and all those things that go on around us in our own rubble in our own life, and forget that God is working in the midst of the rubble. Even that plane with Todd Beamer and the others on that plane, when they knew that they were doomed, but they were going to do whatever it is they could do to minimize whatever that loss might be. And you know the story. I tried to share that story, by the way, this week on Facebook, and I don't know how many, the devil's working, I think is what it is, how many times I tried to post my little midweek thing this week. Probably 15 times and it wouldn't post. I don't know why. But I know the devil tries to stop things too. But he isn't going to have final victory, because God got it. But that story of Todd and the rest of those, and how he was praying and he was asking that God would help him, because he admitted in that story too that he was afraid. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And he gave him strength. They did what they did and perhaps saved many lives in so doing, even though they lost their lives in that plane. That plane was likely headed for the Capitol, the White House. We're not positive where it was heading. But you look at all this and you see in the midst of the rubble, the horrific mess that was caused by all of this, God's still working in the rubble. And He does. The rubble's real. The rubble in our own life is real. The rubble there is real. That's the World Trade Center just in pieces. The rubble in our own life is real. Life does get really messy sometimes. And I don't want to discount the real mess and the real rubble in our lives. Heartache, pain, death, disease, frustration, brokenness is all a part of that rubble that you and I experience in our lives. But Hebrews 4:14 and 16 says something to us about that. It says to us this, and let me put it first in my own words. Jesus says, I've been there. I've done that. And I'm with you. And you'll get through it. And there's hope at the end. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There is glory at the end of all of this. And I want to remind you of that. That's what he basically is saying in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. When he says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who isn't able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Even in the rubble of our lives, approach the throne of grace with confidence, because the one we go to knows what we're going through, has been through what we have been through. And even imagine, if you would, Jesus knowing what He had to do Not a week before he died. Not Friday early morning. I believe Jesus knew for quite a long time what he was going to have to do. Years, perhaps, of living in the context that one day I'm going to have to pay the ultimate price. He had a lot of rubble, didn't he? In his own life. But he conquered. He had heartache. He had pain. He was frustrated with humanity. He was broken on the cross. But Hebrews says, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence in our time of need because we have one who's been there. And he'll take us through whatever it is we have to get through. I think the key for us this morning is, what do we do in the aftermath of the rubble? Like the rubble here. What do you do in the aftermath of the rubble in your life when life has taken a horrible turn and things are going not the way you want them to go and you're living in that rubble, you're in the middle of all that rubble? What do you do in the aftermath? I think that's the most important thing, because we all have some rubble. I'm reminded of a article that was written about Monday and on Tuesday, and it's in reference to 9/11. And here's what it says. I don't even know the author of this, but here's what it says, and I want you to think about this, because this is the aftermath we're talking about. On Monday, there were people fighting against praying in schools. On Tuesday, you would have been hard-pressed to not find a school where someone was not praying. On Monday, there were people trying to separate each other by race and sex and color and creed. And on Tuesday, they were all holding hands. On Monday, we thought that we were secure. On Tuesday, we learned better. On Monday, we were talking about heroes as being athletes. On Tuesday, we were learned what hero meant. On Monday, people went to work at the World Trade Centers as usual. On Tuesday, they died. On Monday, people were fighting the Ten Commandments on government property. On Tuesday, the same people all said, God help us all, while thinking, thou shalt not kill. On Monday, people argued with their kids about picking up their room. On Tuesday, we couldn't get home fast enough to hug them. On Monday, people picked up McDonald's for dinner, and on Tuesday, they stayed home. On Monday, people were upset that their dry clean was not ready on time, and on Tuesday, they were lining up to get blood. On Monday, the politicians argued about budget surpluses. That was years ago. On Tuesday, grief-stricken, they sang, God bless America. On Monday, we worried about traffic and getting to work late. On Tuesday, we worried about a plane crashing into your house. Monday, we were irritated that our rebate checks had not arrived. On Tuesday, we saw people celebrating people dying in the U.S. On Monday, some people had solid families, and on Tuesday, they were orphans. On Monday, the president was going to Florida to read to children. On a Tuesday, he returned to Washington to protect their children. On Monday, we emailed jokes, and on Tuesday, we didn't. It's sad, sadly ironic how it takes horrific events to place things into perspective. And it did for a little while. It did for a little while. I remember as pastor of the church in Norway at the time, we saw an influx of people in the church for about 2 or 3 months. Went almost back to normal after that. Folks, what I'm talking about this morning is the rubble in our lives. The rubble of 9/11, the rubble in our lives. But what I want to talk about this morning is, in the aftermath of that rubble, God can make something beautiful. I wanted Ken to show a picture this morning of a bunch of pieces, broken pieces, and look at what has been made out of those pieces. a beautiful jar. I think that's what God wants to do, not just with us individually in the rubble of our life and all those broken pieces in our life and make something just beautiful ourselves, but I think God also wants to take the rubble of an entire congregation, an entire community, and He wants to make something beautiful out of that as well. And that's why I think all of us together and all of our rubble together, God can make something beautiful. But I think you've got to realize that you've got some rubble. Sometimes we're too proud to recognize that. We need to recognize there's beauty that comes out of our brokenness. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4 talks about suffering. And it says, in our suffering, it produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because our hope is in Jesus Christ. See, out of the rubble, something beautiful can come. I'm not discounting the fact that the rubble is horrible. The rubble stinks. The rubble is ugly. The rubble, I don't understand. But out of that rubble comes these other things if we will allow God to work over time. And sometimes that rubble is there for a long time and sometimes it's not. Psalm 51:17 tells us that God wants us broken, to come to Him broken. It says what God desires is a broken and contrite heart. Oh, God, You will not despise. Recognize, folks, this morning that there is beauty that comes out of our brokenness. There is beauty that comes out of our brokenness because hope springs eternal. He delivers us out of our troubles. I want people to know when they come into this church that they can come as broken people with all the messes they may have in their life. But God is one who's going to work not just with them, but everyone else here who is also broken. And God's going to help us to become something He wants us to be, something beautiful. But we all have to recognize we're broken. Psalm 34:19, He says, He delivers us out of our troubles. He doesn't leave us to our own vices. He delivers us out of our troubles. Verse 17 in that text that was read says, when we cry out, He hears. Sometimes we don't think He's hearing because we aren't getting the answer we'd like. But God hears. He is not deaf. He is not leaving you alone. He hears. And it says in verse 18, don't forget this. Because sometimes in the rubble, we think He's far away. He says He is close to the brokenhearted. He is close to the crushed. That's what it says in Psalm 34:18. You see, in all our brokenness, He makes something beautiful together. There's room for all who struggle. Because in all of us who struggle, what makes it beautiful is that as we struggle, we realize that we struggle. And our neighbor might be struggling. We might be struggling. Someone else might be struggling. But we help each other because we're all broken pieces working together to make something beautiful. Together, in God, He'll make something beautiful. Outside of a relationship with God and Jesus Christ, it's still rubble. But in Christ, He'll take all those broken pieces and make something beautiful. And what that means to me, and I hope it means the same thing to you, we need each other to make something beautiful together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before we share this morning in communion, I want to do something this morning.